ready to order. We'll pick up Senate Bill number 213.
Senate Bill 213.
I'll have Stephen Van Saint Saint come up and testify if you would on this bill.
Thank you. My name is Steve Van Saint. I'm Director of Assessments and Land Management, Mansfield Borough. I assume we're talking about the committee substitute.
Yes.
Yeah. The only statements I'd like to make in regards to this, number one, I would like to see addition made to it. Subsection C in the 2953-105 would give the municipality the right to appeal a notice from the state assessor with the subject to the Administrative Procedures Act. The way this one reads, basically, if the state assessor's office determines that we've made a major error, whatever that might be, that he changes it and then we're lost there. So I would like to see it. Section C added something to the effect that if the municipality wishes to appeal the notice received from the state assessor under Section A of this section, it may appeal to the commissioner is subject to Administrative Procedures Act. Also, just for my information, I would like to clarify what is the intent definition of a major error.
Suggesting that we write into what major means.
I don't think it could be done. It would be nice if it could be done, but I'd rather not see if I could attempt that.
Yes. Did you work on it myself?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Could you tell me where they're connected together? Again, section number 3 down here, we've got the new one. There's 19, which is up above. Then we get section 2, which is taxation of records, and then section 3, which is errors and taxation procedures. How are they so different, and yet they talk about these different things in terms of, not content, but how they're written, I guess, I'm talking about. Who wrote this originally?
I did.
No, you wrote it written. So, you wrote it yourself to the university.
Drafting, that was the best word.
That's a bill, yeah.
I drafted the bill.
Okay.
And if I might, it was done at a suggestion made by Commissioner Heath to a potential problem that may take place. So what I did was introduce the bill knowing that we'd have a committee hearing. And
the problems that would be heard.
Yes.
Okay, can I answer this question? Okay.
was whether or not the state has the staff or the ability to actually go into a community and look at individual assessment areas. Currently, the state assessor's office consists of two people. There wasn't any notion of mission increase. And if I were going to go into the municipality of Anchorage and try to make corrections to their assessment rule, it would take a whole lot more studies than we would have currently the time to give. And I'm not sure that we, as a state agency, really want to be in that business or belong in that business. So what we considered and ended up doing was giving us the ability to look at their procedures and see if they're doing things procedurally right and legally, and then advise them if we found a problem. That's the intent of the substitute, as I understand it, that we could notify the municipality that they are doing something substantially wrong, and then they would have to make corrections before they prepare their next assessment problem. And then it also says that if the state loses money as a result of those errors, the state has the ability to collect that money. Based on that bill, it doesn't appear to us that there will be any fiscal impact on the state that the current staff we have.
Senator Sackett.
Could you comment on the gentleman's definition of major error and whether or not that would either have to be defined, in your opinion?
I would think that it either needs to be defined in statute or we would do it in regulation. I know that when we were talking about this committee substitute, we had something in mind as what a major error was. But what I think it is and what somebody else might interpret it to be could be very different things.
Would you care to tell us what they would have in mind?
Well, what we were looking at, and it also deals with the term procedures, we were looking at where the person who prepares the assessment will be an employee or a contractor is doing something that is procedurally in error, either not complying with a specific statute or just doing something that is completely wrong. For example, there was for a while a community that instead of having a property tax based on value, they figured out how many people lived in a house and figured out how much taxes they want per head, and they actually makes the assessment on the people who live there. That would be a major error, as far as I'm concerned. It does not comply at all with the statutes. In other cases, municipalities have tried to illegally exempt things that the statute does not permit. Again, I would consider that a major error. And I currently would notify the municipality that that was going on. They would hope that they would change it, but I would be proud of it.
Yes. In fact, right now, you have the authority to go ahead and inspect records.
Right.
So, I don't know how you assume that authority, but I'm assuming that that comes under either regulation or some other statute, like 19, for instance, that deals with payment of the foundation program. The municipality is not complying with the taxation provisions of 29. The hammer is the school foundation funds can be held, or any other funds that the state may be owing to the municipality. Is that correct? You have the authority at this time to go in and inspect records. So section 2 particularly is not any additional extension of authority, but it is putting it in statute where it does not specifically apply now.
I agree. Currently, I have never been refused to see any municipality's records. I go to their office and tell them my name, and they're very cooperative. Nobody has ever said, no, I'm not going to show you that, or like, we don't want you here. In the same respect, if I find something wrong, I will write them a letter, and I have been doing it now. Ever since I've been with the state, it says, this is a problem you have, and you got to take care of it. Most cases, they do that. This bill, as far as I'm concerned, does not change any procedures that we're already doing. It does force them to pay attention to the letter, which there is, I think, currently that does that. And that's the only thing I see is a change from current procedure.
The major change in this bill, then, from current law or practice, is the recovery.
Currently, I think the recovery may be available, but it isn't clear. There's nothing that specifically says the state is recovering revenues lost.
Sure. Under what conditions would the state recover revenues lost? What revenues lost are we talking about?
Now, the only effect the local assessments have on state revenues outside of the real broad things of revenue sharing deals with oil and gas pumping and the fact that when the state collects taxes on the pipeline and the stuff on the Prudhoe, that they collect the tax and then the municipality bills the oil company for their tax and the state credits the oil company for what they paid the municipality. So as the
question to committee members. Do you think that we need a definition, or can it be done by regulation? And if we need a definition, what?
Well, my thinking is that we just live the way it is. He knows. Any other questions? Is there anybody else that would like to testify on this thing?
Mr. Chairman, I would like to see under Section 3C the appeal process built in so that, as Mr. Van Zandt suggested, the municipality should have the ability to appeal through the administrative procedure.
Can we write that in there?
Can we have you back up here to give us your opinion of the suggestion that we have on this?
I agree with Mr. Van Zandt that there should be an appeal process. The way that it reads without that, it says that if I decide that there's something wrong, and it might be arbitrary, without that mistake, that they would then be required to correct that, whether or not it was wrong. So there ought to be somebody who can look at what I said to them and make sure that I was proper in my findings.
So you would agree to add?
Yes.
I really think it should be put in the statute, not
right.
To
read it.
Do you have that specific language, Mr. Panzer? No, I can't.
Let's do that.
And have it in the committee.
Doesn't have it under the threat of having to come back here again.
On a committee substitute, I would move a conceptual amendment, which would be under Section 3C, put an appeal process under the Administrative Procedures Act. That's the one that's
consent. That is consent. Then ask for any objections. No objections, sir. Okay. Motion made. We can deal with the individual recommendations. All in favor, signify. I'll take the committee substitute for House Bill number 31.
Or Hardess.
substitute provides also for the equivalent property tax we pay on the other end. I think there are probably communities that are already doing this. There's some kind of a grandfather provision that's been brought in out of some other ramifications of when boroughs were formed and they can adopt city structures and so on. But on page one, and other places in the bill, but on page one, it says an exemption under this subsection shall be allowed under two to a disabled veteran for a percentage of the assessed value of the real property, the same as the percentage of disabilities established by the service disability rating of the veteran. Now, reading that, it looks like someone with a 10% disability could get 10% off on their taxes. You look at then you look at the definition of a disabled veteran, and it means a disabled person separated from the military of the United States in a condition that is not dishonorable, whose disability was incurred or aggravated in line of duty, etc., and whose disability has been rated as 50%. My point is, Mr. Chairman, that we have some communities that are not as sophisticated as others, and on the first blush reading of this, I'm not so sure that we would not have some people getting a 10% or 25% disability exemption. And not that I want to try to screw a bill up or anything, but it looks like it should be written in here to a disabled veteran who has a 50% or more disability rather than
10%.
Rather than redefining disabled veteran or defining disabled veteran.
Well, what does it mean?
Well, the definition of a disabled veteran says 50% or more.
Or more, and not 10%.
Or more, but the way it's written on page one and other places in the bill, it says same as percentage of disability as established by the service disability rating on the veteran. We have lots and lots of people that have hearing loss or something like that considered to be 10% disabled or 20% disabled.
You know, Representative Prentice really meant for it to say 10%.
Excuse me, the original bill had a veteran who had 80% disabled. The reason it was changed to 50% is that if you lived in, say, an $80,000 home and you had a 10% disability, the actual rebate would be something like $35, which wouldn't even be worth the time of the person in the municipality to keep the records. So it was put up to 50%. That was the original reason for 50%. That was when the committee substituted the original bill did not have the 50% limit.
Yes.
I don't think there's a problem. I think there might be a problem just to see the reading. But I think if you care about the amendment for 125, page 1, on the number 2, where it says to the disabled veteran 4% of the assessed value, just whether the disability of 50% or more, so to a disabled veteran with a disability of 50% or more, what percentage of the assessed value of the real property is the same as the percentage of disability that's taxed by the service. That clarifies that in the initial part. It's exactly the same thing.
Why are we doing this?
You'll have to ask this question.
Why are we doing this? All right, this is a way of rebating. Well, our times you have a veteran of 80 or 90% disabled. It can't work. Okay, but he is getting a rebate for where he's living. It's helping the man who needs the help.
Uh-huh.
Basically.
Percentage of the assessed value of real property that is 60% or more. All you're adding is
Social Security Administration. And this is specifying that it has to be a Veterans Administration determination that the person is disabled.
And that's what you're really trying to benefit. You're trying to say
that's right.
You're worrying.
That's right.
The benefit for passengers which is lost in sort of development.
So you move the amendment?
Yeah, I would move that as a benefit. Veteran and 4A with a disability of 50% or more.
Motion to accept the amendment. All in favor, signify.
Mr. Chairman, I think there are other sections that have the same. Said in here that if there's a property tax, the person A is eligible for the equivalency payment for rent based on a property tax. Now we're saying also on a sales tax. I wonder if they meant, because in many places we have both. Both sales tax and property tax where it occurs, or did he mean if there is no property tax to be rebated, then if he pays a sales tax on rent, he gets a portion of the rent rebate. I mean the sales tax rebate.
Gonna be minus and that's not figures. Specifically, if you have a sales report, you are fine.
Gary, answer that.
If the person were 65 or has no passport, say for rent, you're in the hotel as their permanent place of abode and then rented, and area where that hotel paid property taxes, they would be eligible for the property tax rebate. If I might expand a little bit, I understand that Representative Baskin offered this as an amendment on the floor. Having discussed this issue, the sales tax thing, the property tax thing, with Representative Baskin years ago, it is my feeling that he meant for those places where there is no property tax that'd be like Belleville or Constantine, and there is a sales tax on rents, that then those people should be eligible for reimbursement of that sales tax. Well, that's what I think he meant, but I'm not
sure. Yeah, there might be a problem. Can I show this? I have a copy of it. Would that correct the matter?
Yeah, I think it would be personally. I saw this earlier, so.
This should be made.
Saying is does not collect, in a place that does not collect property tax, then sales tax may be switching sales tax.
Jeff left it as drafted, he would be getting the benefit of overwhelming support to local government authorities, whether it was through totally sales tax, totally property tax, or through a combination of sales and property tax.
Do you know if a representative for us would propose this amendment?
No, I don't think it would.
Okay, the motion to amend to the Senate amendment, I shall say, number 2, be adopted. All those in favor signify by saying aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Sir, I have one other question. I don't know if
Okay, thank you very much. Terry.
Question of the old age old battle that probably plays in the bone. It occurs in here without any definition. And at this point, what is the community and regional affairs definition? By regulation, a permanent place of the vote.
Mr. Chairman, I can't quote a specific verbatim, but basically what it says at this point in time is all that property owned by a senior citizen that is contiguous and not used for another purpose other than their residence. So if they own 160 contiguous acres and they're not using it for anything except for a site for their home, then the whole property is exempt. We've expanded that a little bit where if there's a man-made division, like somebody built a road in the middle of their property for one reason or another, but they didn't do it themselves for the purpose of subdivision, then both sides would still be eligible for
the. If it's done for the purpose of subdivision, now there's a plat that's been recorded in there, or generally there's a plat that's been recorded in there, are separate pieces of property, right?
Right.
They could be separate pieces of property if the municipality took an easement and a condemnation, they would force a plat at the same point, and they would be separate pieces of property that they would be only separate property.
Yeah.
In that case, there was no reason.
Okay. That is what is on the books right now.
Correct.
I guess somebody I would just ask, rather than making a motion, what committee's feeling is that has been a bugaboo that's rolled around in the senior citizen exemption for a number of years. Should we put in a statute like the definition of permanent place of abode, or should we keep what the department has in the regulation?
Well, you said something about the definition as far as the physical place, but you didn't say much about what it takes from the individual to be his permanent place of abode. Does this take, let's say, 30 days a year? 100 days a year, 364 and a half days a year.
That is not specifically addressed. Our general feeling is if they live there, first of all, they can only get one exemption. They can only live in one permanent place of the home. Generally speaking, we ask us in very special circumstances, they live there more than 6 months out of the year. There are special circumstances like the fishery, where he has to live somewhere when he's not fishing. In those cases, we're generally pretty liberal.
I'm going to draw my question, forget the whole thing.
Can't not fix it.
One more minute.
Yes. You did your fifth one, though, on Hospital 31. Would there be any significant changes as a result of the committee substitute and the additional amendments?
Senator, the changes that you've made in this committee would not make a big difference. The amendment that was made on the floor of the House with the adding of the sales tax would cost some money.
Would you get that by the time?
that much more money. And as a taxpayer as well as an assessor, I would assume it exempt totally the veterans from their over 50% that they graduated out.
Terry, can you give us an estimate of what you think this bill would cost if we get that?
I don't think it would be for whatever he gives us. It's going to be just a my guess and my gosh.
If you take the numbers up for 50, you take the numbers up for 100, just a million. And just, so you take the millions and not the cost of the same number of people. So you would increase the 44,000 up to about 90,000. All the other categories come to about the same thing, or just divided by the number of people and multiply it out.
Well, where did the estimate get it? They're saying this is an estimated number of veterans. Did you get that from the VA?
Yes, I did. All the numbers of veterans, including the percentages of disability, came from the Veterans Administration. And you can look at the numbers that I prepared there and you can get an idea, or at least a rough one, of what the total cost would be.
The following table shows the estimated number of veterans with disability, and it's based on average payments made to senior citizens.
Saying essentially that if we had 150% disability, the estimate cost of $44,000, and if we follow what Mr. Van Zandt said, that would become $88,000 or $89,000.
Right.
So double of 50, and corresponding, and go right on down the line until you got to.
Basically, what I did when I calculated this is I took the average payment last year for a senior citizen, multiplied times the estimated number of veterans, and then percentage it down based on the percent disability. So you can work that backward and come up with a number. I really would just be a guess at this point without a calculator and some time to work on it.
I think it really would only matter for assessors.
One of the concerns I've had, and that I haven't heard expressed by an awful lot of local assessors, but it seems to me you're going to be in the business of keeping two sets of records for those veterans. Because they're going to have to pay 50% locally, which is going to take a bill to the veteran. And I'm going to pay 50% from the state level, which is going to take a bill to me. And then somebody's going to have to keep a set of records to show whether I've paid, a set of records to show whether the veteran's paid. And the same thing with delinquencies. The veteran could have his part delinquent. We might not get around to pay out of time, which is, they don't go delinquent, but they have to hang on to it until we do. So it would seem like there might be some more work for the local municipalities as well.
Chairman, I would move to be substitute for House Bill 31 as amended.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
It looks like you increased the total homeowners' payment of
Chairman, I withdraw my motion. If we do that, if
the master plan is consistent with our
motion, if we do that, we have to rewrite the bill
entirely.
late. And during that time, I like the car and the premises and the sensors. Redo it if we can to provide, to make it less cumbersome for the assessors.
So we are going to try to go ahead and say 50% increase.
If you have 50% disability or more, you get 100% fine. You are now 75 years old.
Yes.
One thing, too, while you're working on that, would you also do more detailed work on your spinal tomata and get some pilots and have to ask for the information?
Anything else to come report to me about the individual first minute? Probably won't be a couple of hands.